And now it's time for the kids to gather and go downstairs. Who's the winner of the day? Cheryl Hector. Everybody give it up for Cheryl and the kids. There they go. Are both of our kids out of here? No? Okay. In case you didn't notice, we're truly blessed with all of our kids and all of our leaders, and we're truly blessed here. And I think my favorite part of that worship was maybe there at the end with the unplanned singing and the unplanned clapping and just worshiping God for how good He is and how great He is for you and to you. And I would say we would all go and admit and proclaim that God has been good to us. But this morning I want to kind of adventure into a topic that we all kind of struggle with. And I think too many times preachers preach about questions that are never answered. And those questions of what's the name of the Antichrist? And how many years is he or she going to reign? And what do I need to look out for? Those are incredible things to know and to study, but knowing the name of the Antichrist isn't going to get you into the gates of heaven. And this morning I want to discuss something that we might know all too well. And this thing really knows you. Did you know that? You know, you may know where this topic comes from or where areas of your life where you struggle with the most, but this thing that we're going to discuss this morning knows you all too well. So let me introduce you to an opponent of your faith. The name of fear. Let me introduce you to fear and just kind of tell you about the tactics in which fear wants to imply to break your heart and destroy your home and break up the church. Let me just kind of introduce you to this thing called fear. Did you know that fear is coming for you? Fear wants you to wake up and the first thing you think about are all of the things you have to face that day or all of the unfortunate circumstances in which you are facing in your life, and fear wants to paralyze you to where you don't even want to get out of bed. Fear is coming and fear is trying to navigate its way into your heart and into your life and into your mind to manipulate your thoughts to what you are not good enough or you are unworthy. The reality is that some of us have struggled with fear. We struggle with it now. We feel unworthy. We feel like an outcast. And I promise you that there are going to be seasons of your life where fear is trying to creep into your heart and into your mind. Just to kind of let you all know, it was a year ago that I preached for the first time as the official pastor of the church. And I would be lying to you if I didn't tell you I was fearful. I would be lying if I told you I was just bold and courageous and ready to take on the world. And I would be lying if I told you that was the reality of my mindset and of my life whenever I preached that first sermon and we enjoyed Hobo Day last year. The reality was I was fearful. Fear was trying to creep into my mind and discourage me and trying to paralyze. And fear wanted to remind me that each and every time I would get up on the stage, people have already written me off because of my age. Fear is wanting to provide this thought of, I need to be fearful because at the age of 25, there's no way as one of the youngest members of the church that people would ever open up their ears or their hearts to the Word of God delivered through the mouth of a 25-year-old. Fear was creeping into my mind saying that people have already written you off because of your past and because of the obstacles that you've had to overcome. And fear was creeping into my mind and into my heart reminding me that if people really knew what I have struggled with in my life, the obstacles that I've had to overcome, the battles that I've had to fight, if they really knew me, they would just cast me out and condemn me. Fear was reminding me of all of these things. Fear was reminding me that every time I walked through this door and saw all of these beautiful, some more beautiful than the others, faces, that fear has reminded me that these people, before I even step up on this stage, they've already written me off and tuned me out. Fear was creeping into my mind during the hours of preparation that I was preaching to deaf ears. The hours of preparing and writing and reading and praying and studying, that all of those hours were just wasted because the people have already written you off. Fear was creeping into my marriage and reminding me that I was unworthy of my wife and reminding me that I can never live up to the expectations in which my wife had, or I can never be a good enough husband, or I can never be a good enough father. The reality is that we've all probably struggled with fear, and fear wants you to think when you look in the mirror that I'm not good enough. Fear wants to creep into your mind whenever God is calling you to something, reminding you that you are unqualified and that you are unworthy. Fear wants to creep into your mind whenever you come into this church that if I really opened up and was vulnerable with these people, they would just cast me out and condemn me as well. If the people really knew the struggles internally and the spiritual warfare that's happened over the course of my life, they would just write me off as a lunatic. Fear wants to creep in and remind you that the first thing in the morning, it wants to influence your thoughts and remind you that you're not strong enough to fight that day. Fear wants to creep into your mind and into your heart. Anytime you see a cross, anytime you see the image of a cross, anytime you see jewelry with the cross on it, that it was taken for everyone else but you. Fear wants to creep its way into your marriage, into your home, into your heart, and dictate everything that you do. I don't know if anyone's here has ever struggled with fear. Has anyone here ever struggled with fear? Feeling unworthy? I would say that we have all struggled with fear. I would say that some of us may be struggling with fear, maybe even today. And instead of going on a topic of questions that are never answered, I want to just discuss from God's Word, not through my words, because mine are not very good, okay? But through God's Word and through God's promise, how you and I might be able to fight and overcome this topic of fear. And one of the greatest opponents to our faith. As I mentioned earlier, this is kind of like our year anniversary. I've preached, I think, 50 out of the last 52 times here. So y'all should pat each other on the back, because you've had me a long time. All right, pat each other on the back. Go ahead. All right, say, we've made it. We've survived. All right, we have survived this kid for a year now. You know, and fear has wanted to creep into my mind every time I have a ministry opportunity or a thought that we can never do it. You know, fear wants to creep into my mind that whenever I see people in need, we don't have the money, or we don't have the means, or we don't have the people or the amount of resources to meet people right where they are. Fear wanted to creep into my mind when I had that crazy idea of hosting an event, giving clothes to families, that there would only be like 20 or 30 people there. Fear didn't want me to know that there would be almost 600 people walk through our doors and see the love and the face of Jesus Christ by the 40 volunteers that we had spending their entire day, and almost 600 people receiving clothes, shoes, handbags, school bags. Fear does not want you to know what's to come, because if fear can choke your faith out now, then you will be living in fear as you adventure into the unknown. The reality of fear is this: fear wants to minimize your faith now so you won't maximize it tomorrow. Fear wants to minimize your faith today, wants to choke your faith out today so you won't maximize it and live it out tomorrow. And I'll tell you this, it's been a year. We've had some incredible times. We've seen a lot of people grow. We've seen the church grow numerically. We've seen it grow relationally. We've seen, you know, our average attendance double in size. We've seen almost 600 people receive clothes and shoes. We've seen people provide money to supply meals or supply this or supply that. And it's incredible to see how this church is moving and growing. But I can't lie and tell you that I'm somewhat fearful of what's to come. So today I want to preach to you just as much as I am to me of moving forward in this church and in your walk, in your marriage, and in your everyday grind. So if you want to turn with me, you don't have to turn, because we're going to be turning to three different sections of Scripture, but I'm going to throw it on the screen for you. But if you want to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, go ahead. That's where we're going to start. And I'm just going to warn you before I read, all right? I don't have my watch on today. You got yours? Okay. He was quick to let me know. Everybody's letting me know. They got theirs. They got theirs. All right. I don't have my watch. I don't even have my phone. Okay? So I am timeless, right? Like, we are out the space of time today. We're just gonna go, and hopefully we're still able to meet the lunch at 2. All right? But we're going to start in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And this is what the Bible says. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. For God gave you, for God gave me a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. This is what Paul's telling Timothy as he writes this. He goes, you're going to go about preaching. And I just want to remind you that God has not given you a spirit of fear. So don't get concerned about what the people have to say about your teaching. Continue to just proclaim the gospel and preach, even though it may not tickle their ears, even though, you know, they may prefer another method or another message. Just continue to preach in the spirit in which God has given you. And this is what I realized about this passage, because I've had to go back to it time and time again. Time and time again. For God gave me, for God gave you a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. So I want to discuss two ways that we can kind of overcome, or we can fight the thing of fear that is trying to paralyze you, keep you on the couch, keep you in the bed, to where you don't want to leave the house, to where you have no hope, to where you have no peace, and this fear that leads to anxiety, and then you face depression. I don't know if anybody's ever fought depression, but you're paralyzed by depression. You can't get out of bed. You have no urge to do anything. There's no motivation. There's no drive. There's no hope. You are just held captive to depression, and it all roots in this fear. And where I want us to go with the first way, the first thing that you and I can do in order to fight and overcome fear, is to simply seek God's Spirit. That's it. Here's the reality. You alone are vulnerable and will be devoured by fear. Me alone doing things on my own, I will be vulnerable and devoured by fear. I will grow in anxiety, and I will battle depression. I will not want to do anything, and the things that motivate me now, the things I look forward to doing now, will become a burden, to where I have no interest, or I don't provide any contribution. I just kind of, you know, instead of valuable in this area or valuable in that area, I have no value whatsoever, because I'm held captive to this fear, because the fear is wanting to choke out my faith. So instead of living by faith, instead of walking by God's Spirit and walking in His Spirit, I live in my own vulnerability, and I try to build up my own walls of protection, and the reality is my own walls of protection are destroyed and I am devoured. Because you alone are nothing. Jesus said it last week when we discussed it, that we can do nothing outside of Him. I can't do anything outside. I can show love to my kids, but I can't truly lead them to the cross without Him. I can be a good husband. I can even open the door for my wife. But I can't lead her to the cross without Him. You know, something funny. Mikhail and I have been married for 5 years now. And we have two little rascals, you know. And just to let you know how good of a husband I am, or maybe the lack thereof, last week or 2 weeks ago, I went to open the door for my wife. And I went to open the passenger door. And she started to follow me around and happened to see me grabbing for the door and said, okay, I guess I'll drive. Okay, I guess I'll drive. You know, just discredit the fact that I'm opening the door for you. I guess I'll drive. So then she walked herself around the other side and drove home. But I can do those things, and I can show her kindness, and I can provide her a smile, but the reality is I cannot do anything if I'm held captive by fear, doing things on my own. I can only lead her to the cross. I can only be the face of Jesus if I abide in Jesus. And I can only overcome this topic of fear, this thing, this opponent to my faith of fear in my marriage. Because the reality is, in my marriage, the thing called fear, this opponent that we face in fear, wants to remind me that I'm not that good of a husband. I can never be that good of a husband. She could have found better. We all are, you know, probably in agreement of that, but she could have gone somewhere else. And the reality is, fear wants to hold me captive to those thoughts when I look in the mirror that I can't live up to the expectations. I don't do the dishes well enough. I don't cook well enough. I don't lead her well enough. I don't love her enough. I don't spend enough time with her. I don't wrap my arms tight enough around her. And then fear wants to creep into my mind whenever I'm looking at my two kids, trying to raise them and lead them to Jesus, and trying to show them what a husband should do in the home, how a husband should treat a woman, how a husband should love and lead the wife. And fear wants to creep into my mind and remind me that I'm failing each and every day. But what I have to realize is that God did not give me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. So the reality is that sometimes you and I like to live by what we see, by our sight, by what we face, driven by fear instead of what God has given us. So the harsh reality, and this might sting, okay, because if you've ever battled fear or struggled with it, and this is right to me, the reality is sometimes we just need to put our big pants on and get up off the couch, get up out of the bed, and start walking. Sometimes we need to just start seeking His Spirit right in that situation, right in the middle of the storm, seeking His Spirit, because fear wants to remind you that in the midst of the storm, Jesus will never calm it. Fear wants to remind you that the mountains that you see will never be moved, because if fear can get its grip on you and choke out your faith, when the Bible says that it takes the faith the size of a mustard seed to move a mountain, but if fear can choke that faith out, the mountains will never move. And you will see barrier after barrier remain in front of you, and life circumstances which seem unfair and going against you will grow bigger and bigger and bigger. So we have some teens in here, preteens, teenagers, and this is what fear wants them to do. When they go into the school, they want them to be reminded by people that nobody really likes them, nobody cares about them. They're wanting students within the school system to influence them in negative ways. Fear is not wanting people to have the boldness to stand up for the message of Jesus Christ in the midst of persecution. Fear wants you and I to grow weak and weary in all that we do. But we have been given a spirit of power. And when Paul is telling Timothy, for God gave us a spirit of fear, or not a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control, he is telling us that God has gifted us with a spirit that breaks the bondage of fear. Because whenever we're held captive to, whenever we're fighting or struggling with this thing called fear, we have to understand and evaluate where we're taking the fight. Because as I mentioned earlier, on your own, if you try to fight this thing on your own, you will never win. But if you can see that fear is hanging on the cross and has been there for 2,000 years and Jesus has already overcome it, then when you take this struggle of fear and anxiety and doubt and depression, when you take it right to Him, understanding Jesus has already overcome it and understanding that we can take peace and knowing that Jesus has overcome the world, then we'll start to seek His Spirit and His power. And with that being the first thing, I want to turn to Psalm chapter 34. And I just want to read verse 4 out of this. And this psalm is written by David. And Psalm chapter 34, verse 4, the Bible says this: I sought the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. So I don't know what fears you struggle with in your home, within your marriage, within your parenting, within your workplace, with your future, with your finances, with your past. But David says, I sought the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. So we have to see what David is actually telling us here. He said, I have been seeking the Lord. He recognizes that on his own, he's not able to fight off the fears and the enemies of this world. And he realizes that I can't do this on my own, so I'm going to seek the Lord because His strength is greater than mine. His might is bigger than mine. So he says, I sought the Lord. I've been seeking the Lord. I'm seeking His power and His Spirit in the midst of war, in the midst of battles, in the midst of my fear, and in the midst of my doubt. He says, I sought the Lord and He answered me. David is literally saying, I had to cry out to my Father in heaven, I need you. David is showing us in just that one sentence that he had to humble himself enough. Maybe he got down on his knees. Maybe he made an altar and sang songs and made melody to the Lord. Maybe he had to humble himself enough to recognize that on his own he could not do anything. He could not overcome the enemies in which he faced. And he says, I sought the Lord. And He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. So if you know my three-year-old, Aubrianna, she's a lot like her mother and a little like her dad. And let me just tell you how she's like her father. Aubrianna can count forward and backward and in Spanish. Okay? And she's just like her dad, very intelligent, and likes to follow suit there, and the bloodlines run deep, all right? But she can literally count, and, you know, 1 to 10 to 15 to 20, and then she does it backwards, and she's really kind of impressive. And one thing she does better than me, actually, other than that, is she preaches really well. All right, I have a 3-year-old who preaches really well, and she will tell you all about God and how Jesus died on the cross for your sin, and he died so that we don't have to die, and that God is in us, and God doesn't want you to be mean to people. And she's just really impressive, and she likes to listen to you know, Christian contemporary music on the phone or the iPad, and she'll sing along with it. And you know, she sings, you know, his name is Victory, and she sings all of these songs in the car, and it's just incredible to see. However, at nighttime, her habits shift a little bit. And at nighttime, she doesn't like to go anywhere, okay? And in the dark, she doesn't even like to leave the house, much less the room she's in. If my 3-year-old happens to look out of the curtains or out of the door, if we open the door and she sees that it is not light out, but it is dark, she will not leave that room unless she's accompanied by her parent or grandparent. So I remember one night, Aubrey, it was getting late, and we said, hey, Aubs, go put your PJs on and let's brush your teeth. And she said, no, I can't go. I said, what do you mean you can't go? And she said, I'm afraid. I said, what are you afraid of? She said, it's dark outside. What if there's something out there? And I reminded her, Daddy's home, and you know, Daddy's not real tough, but Daddy's here to protect you. And you know, if Daddy can't do the job, they have these really nice high-powered rifles and these handguns that do very well. Okay, so if Daddy can't do it, we've got the resources here to take care of you. So just run as fast as you want and do whatever you want because Daddy's here. And she gained the courage to run back to her dresser, pull out the bottom drawer, pull out her PJs, throw them on, and attempt to make her way out of the room. And I remember her walking out of her room and peeking through the kitchen window, and between the curtains, she saw the darkness. So she resorted back to her closet, or back to her room by her dresser, and started to cry out and call for Daddy. And she was fearful because that's, you know, that's not what she's comfortable with. She's afraid of what's in there. So she starts to call out and she's crying. And I get up off the couch, and the whole time I'm like, oh, these kids just, you know, I better not say what I want to say. So I make my way back to her bedroom, and there she is crying with tears in her eyes because of the darkness out of the house. And I said, oh, Brianna, why are you so scared? She said, it's dark. I don't know what's out there. And I wrapped my arms around her, you know, and I told her, I said, oh, there's no reason to be scared, baby. Daddy is here. Daddy has got you. Don't be afraid and stop crying. And I remember walking her back through the house and leading her into the bathroom so she could brush her teeth. And it took her coming to this point of crying out to Daddy, Daddy, I need you. Daddy, I can't do this on my own. Daddy, I'm afraid. Daddy, I'm fearful for what's out there. I'm fearful for what may get me. And she had to cry out. And I realized in this passage, David is kind of portraying the same image here. He had to come to a point where he may have poked his head out of out of that bedroom door and realized, nope, I can't do it. I can't do it on my own. God, I need you right now. I need your strength. I need your might. I need your spirit to guide me and to empower me. God, I can't do it on my own. It's in this very moment as if God walked to David and wrapped his arms around him and said, stop being afraid, for I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Stop being afraid. I've given you a spirit, not of fear. Stop resorting to this fear that's coming to choke out your faith. Stop living by and being dictated by the fear in which you hold, and start living by the spirit in which I have given you. So it's as if God walked right to David, wrapped his arms tightly around him, and reminded him, Daddy is here. Daddy is here. And I don't know about you, but there are some times in my life where I just need to know that Daddy is there. There are times in my life where life is hectic. It's spinning like 180 miles per hour, and I'm trying to catch up on things. I'm trying to stay ahead, or I'm trying to figure out where to even begin. I'm trying to see, how did this thing get out of hand here? How did this problem happen here? And it's in that very moment where I just need to, one, be still and know that God is still God, but two, also know that Daddy is still home. God has given us a spirit, not of fear, but of power. God has given you a spirit of power. So in those moments of fright, in those moments that you are afraid of what's to come, or what does life look like, you know, is this marriage even worth trying? I'm fearful that we can never overcome this. I'm fearful that we'll never ever see a positive number in our bank account. I'm afraid that we just keep, you know, trying, and we keep trying, and I'm fearful, and I'm afraid that our kids or our grandkids will never return, and relationships will never be reconciled. It's in those moments that you need to be reminded that God will never leave you nor forsake you. It's in those moments that we need to know that God is telling us, I am here. And I remember walking through the house and reminding my daughter that if you're in this house, if you're within my presence here in this house, Daddy will do everything to protect you. And we must realize that our Heavenly Father fights for us, fights with us, and has given us something to defeat fear, and it's His Spirit. And I want to finish this morning with Psalm 27. Psalm 27 says this: The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. And David is telling you, when life is spinning out of control and things are not in your favor, you shall not fear. When the doctor calls to remind you of the news that is never going to be positive and it'll never turn for the good, you shall remain confident. And we're reminded by David numerous times that we shouldn't be afraid, we shouldn't fear, that God is for us. God fights with us, God fights for us. We shouldn't be fearful of anything. But the reality is sometimes we struggle with it. But he says that the Lord is the stronghold of his life. Whom shall I be afraid? Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. When life is hit rock bottom, we shall remain confident. Why? Because God is my light and my salvation. God is my stronghold or my refuge. In other words, Daddy is home. My Abba Father, my Dad, my Heavenly Father, who has all power and all authority and is the one who can fight any battle for me and has defeated every enemy already that will come and rise against me. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Because my God, my Heavenly Father, is here, and it's in His presence that we find security. So how do we get into that point of feeling secure in His presence? We're seeking His Spirit and the power that His Spirit holds. How do we find that security? How do we get into that place of in His presence we feel secure? Even though life is spinning out of control and nothing is going our way, we remain confident. How do we get that to that point? Well, if you go on down, he says, one thing I have asked of the Lord that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He's literally saying, I want to dwell with the Lord forever and ever. I want to feel His presence. I want to be in His presence. I want His presence and His Spirit to guide me, to empower me, to encourage me. I want to be with Him forever and ever, all the days of my life. And in verse 6, we see something really powerful that you and I can apply right now. This is something you can apply right now in the midst of doubt, in the midst of struggles, in the midst of depression, in the midst of fear, something that you and I can apply. And this is what he says. This is 27 verse 6. He says, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Did you know that God is the only one that can lift your head up in the midst of your enemies? And then he goes on to say something really powerful. He says, and I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. What he's saying here is, I will worship Him for what He has done for me. You know, when we read a few weeks ago of a little bit out of Psalm 23, when David is writing about the good shepherd. You remember in verse 4 of that psalm, David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Why does he say that? What does he say right after that? For you are with me. He's saying, I have sought your spirit, I have sought your protection, and I have sought your presence. And even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, even though I'm surrounded by my enemies and the table that you have prepared for me, I'm not going to give in to the pressure of my enemies. I'm going to keep my eyes on the presence of my Lord. And he says, I will fear nothing because you are with me. But he says there, because you have lifted me up in the middle of my enemies, when I'm surrounded by all of these people coming after me, when I'm surrounded by addiction, when I'm surrounded by my past, when I'm surrounded by self-righteousness, when I'm surrounded by rumors spread about me, even in the middle of all of those things, you are the one that lifts me up. And because you do so, I'm going to sing songs for you. So what he's saying is, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. And it's through our worship, not just on Sunday morning, but on Tuesday night. It's through our worship in our thoughts and in our mind and in our heart and through our actions and now the words that we speak and the things that we do. It's through those things that we worship him with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength. It's through our worship of him, seeking his spirit and his presence, that we can overcome, that we can fight fear. It's in his worship. You know, as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that passage is so powerful because the valleys of that mountain range in which was written about us, the shadows are so dark you can't even see the things hiding in them. There could be armies hiding within those shadows and you would never know they were there. So what he's saying is, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, in our context this morning, even though I'm walking, I know fear is breathing down my neck. I know my old lifestyle, my old habits are breathing down my neck. I know that depression is coming after me. I know that there are enemies that are coming to devour my marriage and destroy my ministry. There are enemies coming for me. Even though I walk through the valley, even in the presence of my enemies, I will sing songs of praise to my God. Even though I walk through the valley, he's saying, I will fear nothing. Therefore, since I fear nothing, as long as I walk, I will worship. As long as I walk, I will worship. I will lift your name. I will exalt your name in all that I do. And what happens is when we walk in the valley long enough, we happen to sometimes just happen to, you know, walk up the hillside. I don't know if you've ever walked through a valley and then things start to shift a little bit. Things start to go your way. Things start to kind of go in your favor. And for once, you're not fearful all that much. And for once, you're starting to see positive things come out of the negative relationships. And you're starting to see, you know, fruit grow within your heart, within your life. And sometimes we go from the valley and we're singing songs. And then we make our way up the mountainside. And eventually, we reach these points of our life. And sometimes they're far and few between that we sometimes feel like we're on top of a mountain. And I don't know if you've ever felt like you were on top of a mountain, like life couldn't get any better, things couldn't go any more in your favor, and you just feel blessed. And when people ask you how you're doing, you just remind them of how God has been using you and moving in you and using you to shape other people. And then once you reach the mountaintop, you have all of those valleys below you, and the acoustics are at the best place to start singing even louder. Well, let me just remind you of this reality. The reality is, I will never sing songs on the mountaintops of my life if I don't first start singing them in the valley. If I can't worship God as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will never praise him when I reach the point and the peak of the mountain. If I can't worship him right now in the middle of my struggle, in the middle of my mess, then I'll never use him as the authority of my message. If I can't praise him now, once I reach the peak, I will have believed in myself as the power of reaching this point. So the reality is, when we face fear, when we feel unworthy, when addictions arise, when old temptations come, when the enemy is attacking our home and attacking our heart, we begin to worship. We begin to seek his spirit, and it's through his spirit that we have the power to overcome fear. Let's pray.